ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट 38 इति अद्री गोद्विज मखम वासुदेव प्रचोदिता यथा विधाय ते गोपा सह कृष्ण व्रजम यायु इति अद्री कोद्विज मखम वासुदेव प्रचोदिता यथा विधायते गोपा सह कृष्ण व्रजम ययु इति अद्री कोद्विजम इति अद्री गोद्विज मखम वासुदेव प्रचोदिता यथा विधायते गोपा सह कृष्ण व्रजम ययु इति अद्री गोद्विज मखम वासुदेव प्रचोदिता यथा विधायते गोपा सह कृष्ण व्रजम ययु।
इति इन दिस मैनर अद्री टू गोवर्धन हिल गो द काउज द्विज एंड द ब्राह्मणस मखम द ग्रेट सैक्रिफाइस वासुदेव बाय लॉर्ड कृष्णा प्रचोदितः अर्ज्ड यथा प्रॉपरली विधाय एग्जीक्यूटिंग ते धे गोपा द कावर्ड्स सह कृष्णा टुगेदर विद लॉर्ड कृष्णा व्रजम टू व्रज यायु दे वेंट।
Translation. The members of the cowher community, having thus been inspired by Lord Vasudev to properly execute the sacrifice to Govardhan Hill, the cows and the brahmanas, returned with Lord Krishna to their village Vraja. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although the Govardhan Puja was performed in a blissful and successful way, the matter was hardly finished. Lord Indra is, after all, tremendously powerful, and he received the news of Govardhan sacrifice with burning anger. What ensued will be described in the following chapter. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Goratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, this is the last verse of this chapter, and just the great benefit that we all have to read this beautiful scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, the way Srila Prabhupada asks us to read in the morning, verse to verse, is very interesting. Because obviously, after we spend some time in Krishna consciousness, we know most of the stories. I think no story would be unknown to us. But the benefit of reading verse by verse is that you come to know the minute to minute, the way the Leela is progressing. Very interesting. So, in this verse, which apparently is quite a simple verse, not really very heavy with philosophy or very heavy with some leela. It is just saying that after finishing the Govardhan Puja, the cowherd men, I mean the Brijabasis, they went back to their village. That's what the verse says. But the fact that Sukhdev Goswami has spoken this verse, and the fact that he felt it was important for Parikshit Maharaj to hear that verse, knowing very well that he was running against time, we can understand there is some very, very important purpose of this verse. What has happened is that it was such a blissful, as the purport says, it was such a blissful and a joyous occasion. It was a great festival. The first time it was ever celebrated. We all know Govardhan Puja is always a very, very joyous festival. But can you imagine the first time it was celebrated? Everything was new for the Brijbasis. Everything was exactly the way you know Krishna was orchestrating it. That do this, do this, do this. So it was a very, very joyous and a very wonderful experience. But the reason this verse is spoken, and Sukadeva Goswami goes on to connect from this chapter, as Radha Govind Maharaj explained, that there is a distinct reason why this whole pastime is in two chapters and not in one chapter. You know, otherwise you see all the one pastime is in one chapter, subduing Kaliya is in one chapter. But the reason why this is two chapters, this is worshipping Govardhan Hill. The next chapter is Krishna lifts the Govardhan Hill. It could have been one chapter. Because the distinct two parts, and we are right at the conjunction of these two parts. You know, the Govardhan Puja is finished. And then we are about to enter the next chapter. And Krishna is going to lift the Govardhan Hill. But before that, there's going to be many things happening. So what we are understanding is, from this verse, is the mentality of the people in the spiritual world and the mentality of the people having material understanding. Let us all just for some time think about that we are in front of a very calm, peaceful lake, absolutely serene. No disturbances in the lake. And we are just observing the lake. And then we take one small stone and we throw the stone in the lake. And we find this amazing phenomenon of ripples just originating from the center point, going across the lake and becoming dying down. And we throw one more stone, right at the same point we threw the first stone. Again, you will find the same things. But we have heard this example, that we put many stones, then you find this whole lake, which was very serene, calm, getting completely troubled by different center points, different things originating from different places, and the waves, they collide. And there is no uniformity, there is no proper system. So similarly, spiritual world, or the people in the spiritual world, or the Brijbasis specifically in these words, they are 100% in tune or in conjunction with the Lord's desire. Whatever the Lord desires is their desire. To be, they are in one with the Lord's desire. So all the things that happens is at this one point. The center point is Krishna. There's nothing else that happens. It was quite a radical thing. It was extremely radical thinking by the Brijbasis to do what they did. You know, for years, practically maybe for generations, this Indra Puja was going on. Something which is going on for generations, and suddenly, you know, the whole thing gets changed, and the Brahmanas are chanting, and the cows are kept at the front, and they're worshipping a hill, which can otherwise be called pantheism, to worship, you know, things which are, we can just call something, this is God, and you worship. So we call pantheism, otherwise, very, very strange worship, which is condemned, to worship a hill, to worship natural form, hill or a cloud or a thunder or things like that, or some stone, you just put some rare thing over the stone and you say this is worshipable. That's pantheism. But here it was such a radical because Krishna was directly orchestrating. He was the orchestra master. And the Brijabasis were completely in tune with the Lord. They very much throwing the stone right at the center point and the whole lake was in perfect harmony. There was no disturbance. But compared to that, the mentality of the material world, and which has been shown by this one personality, Indra, that the material world is all about throwing the stones where you want to throw them. Throwing it here, throwing it there, and completely disrupting the whole calmness of the lake. Just constant stones throwing. If you just analyze, what is kirtan? Kirtan is nothing but the science of togetherness. One person leads and everybody else follows the way he leads a particular tune. Many times, you know, we experience, there are some devotees who are, who are quite gifted to sing the same tune irrespective of whatever the leading person sings. It is quite, quite amazing. Like, many times we sit next to a devotee and there's a particular tune going on and we want to sing. But this devotee will sing the same tune, which is a different tune. But whatever tune is, his tune remains the same. Do you get what I'm saying? The same tune, again and again, if the tune changes, he sings the same way or she sings the same way. Or suppose there's a kirtan dancing going on, everybody is going front and back. And while somebody is going the front, somebody goes at the back first. And then when somebody comes in the back, he goes at the front. So many times when you do kirtan, you know, we are asked to go in uniformity. Like go together and come back. This is, it was told that it is somehow very difficult for Indian devotees to dance in uniformity. I don't know, as I was told. But you go to any other temple, there's perfect, for 1 hour if they dance, it is perfect unison. They all dance with left leg front and leg, it goes on. But some other, you know, we just get so restless sometimes. That's part of our, the way we are brought up, whatever, maybe. So we see that in kirtan, just for example, there is perfect, it is a science of togetherness. It is nothing but togetherness. And if somebody goes in a tangent, or somebody sings in a loud pitch, it spoils the whole kirtan, is it not? If somebody just, you know, if you're singing a nice tune and somebody, hi, you know, sings in a loud tone which is out of tune, it spoils the whole thing. Similarly, you are playing a beautiful harmonium, a nice tune is coming, but there is one key which is stuck, and you press the harmonium, and it keeps on pressing. So even though you have a beautiful harmonium, but this one key which is constantly pressed, it creates that constant sound. Just imagine a situation where we are sitting in a Bhagavatam class, the process of Shravanam, where the service of one person is to speak and the service of everybody else is to listen. So everybody is in unison, is together in the aspect of listening, except for that one person who is speaking, it has his service. But imagine if one person says, why should I not speak? Then he starts speaking. And then the other person starts speaking. And the third person starts speaking. And just imagine a Bhagavatam class where everybody is speaking. Can you imagine what will happen? I mean, I am also speaking and everybody is speaking. Just imagine the situation. It will be complete, what we call cacophony, or complete, you know, confusion will prevail. Now, why we are setting these examples? Because what will be the situation when everybody starts speaking in the Bhagavatam class is what Krishna sees the state of the material world, where everybody is doing their own things without having any concern of what Krishna wants. Everybody is in their own trip. Everybody is talking. Krishna is talking something, but everybody else is talking. It's complete confusion. So we must understand that Krishna is the orchestrator. He is the person who guides the orchestra. And the Brijbasis are so wonderful that they are completely subservient to Krishna's orchestra. You know, there is this famous orchestra man, Zubin Mehta. Maybe you heard it, quite a famous, I don't know whether he's still around. But we used to see it. You know, he has a huge orchestra with practically 50 people playing the violin, 50 people playing some other instruments. And so he's simply one man with a small stick standing in one corner, maybe in the middle, maybe. But he's just doing, and he just did like this, and then all the violin people start playing, and then just like this. So it's a world famous orchestra. So it can work very well if everybody does things in uniformity. And that's exactly what the spiritual world is all about. Everybody is in uniformity to the desire of God, desire of Krishna. And that's exactly what we are seeing here in the Govardhan Leela. The Krishna said, now we don't want to do Govardhan Indra Puja. Fine, Krishna, what should we do? So we should worship this Govardhan Hill. This is the way we should worship. Worship the cows, worship the brahmanas. Circumambulate Govardhan Hill. Fine, we'll do that. And there was such happiness and bliss in doing this. Matchita madagada prana bodhyantascha parasparam. Katyantascha mam nityam. Tushyanticha ramanticha. Krishna explains so beautifully that what is the outcome of Krishna Katha? Tushyanti, complete satisfaction, and Ramanti, bliss. That is the outcome of Krishna Katha or Krishna Seva for that matter. So whenever we are engaged into focused effort of serving Krishna, then there is complete satisfaction and bliss, and that's what the Brijbasis were enjoying. The whole day it was a blissful environment. But while this was going on, as we say, when you have red glasses, you see everything red, and when you have blue glasses, you see everything blue, even though the thing is not blue or red. Similarly, when Indra was seeing this through his eyes, something which was a very blissful experience for the Brijabasis on one side. And this is exactly what we call the dualities of life. One man's food is other man's poison. The Brijabasis was in bliss. Can you imagine the bliss that they experienced worshipping Govardhan Hill, which was Krishna, and Krishna manifested as Giriraj. They saw Krishna. So it was a blissful festival. But while this was happening, Indra was still wanting to hear that they are not worshipping Giriraj. But finally he got this news after they went to Braj, that my dear Indra, from his assistants, that finally the Brijabasis have worshipped the Govardhan Hill. Sometimes when we are too attached to something, we have hope against hope, and we are desperately hoping that is not happening. Something which is against our desire. A simple example. Many times, you know, as leaders, we get into naturally a mood of controlling our subordinates. It's just, and not natural, it is unnaturally natural. It is not natural to control the subordinates. But it just becomes so much of a human nature to do that. And then every aspect of the subordinate is something that the leader wants or feels like controlling. And then if somebody has just to do a simple thing like, you know, going to a yatra for that matter, you know, going to Vrindavan with some friends, and you got the news that this devotee is going to Vrindavan, he has already booked his ticket, but you are thinking in your mind that I don't think he will go because he has not asked me yet. He will definitely ask me. And you're hoping against hope that it is not true. But finally, when you get the news that he has boarded the train, he has gone to Vrindavan, you become extremely furious. Say, how the hell he can do what he did? And then, either you talk in a very, very angry mood with that person on the phone maybe, or you can say, you have what is called artificial humility. Kya Prabhuji, I know I am very fallen. Aajkal abhi you don't follow me, huh? You don't feel like, you're not very inspired by me.
You want to hear your glorification sometimes through this. No, Prabhuji, I'm very, very... you are my master after all. You want to hear that. This is the situation of Indra. It is not that he was happy with what worship he was getting from so many people. But the insignificant small village, from his perspective, insignificant small village of Braj, they didn't offer him worship, was extremely painful for him in the form of, and which came out in the form of extreme anger. So the true test of a leader, the true test of a genuine devotee is not how loyal he is with his friends. Many times we say a friend in need is a friend indeed. That's good. You know, when you are in need and there's some friend who helps you, that's a very good thing. We use this. But many a times, if you analyze this more scrutinizingly, more deeply, that help that you give to a friend who is in need could be out of some pride. You know, he needs me, so I will help. Many a times, you know, when there is some natural disaster in India, you'll be surprised, but our neighboring country, which is our enemy, to with all practical purposes, they'll be the first to send some help in the form of some goods. They'll be first to help. Oh, something in India we want to send. And similarly, India will be the first to send help to our neighbor country. Not that they love and they feel sad or somebody is suffering in this country. But it has a feeling of superiority. That, oh, he needs my help and here I am. I'm helping you. So sometimes this phenomenon of a friend in need is a friend indeed could be many a times out of the feeling of superiority. So a person's loyalty or friendship is not necessarily judged by how loyal he is with his friends, but how thrilled he is when the friend succeeds. That's more important. Not just that I'm helping because you need me, but how thrilled you are when he succeeds. That is a sign. That's why it is said that, you know, when somebody succeeds, somebody is successful in any of his endeavors, I mean, the worst thing you can do is simply tolerate it. I tolerate his success. I mean, that's the most kanishta way of behaving for somebody's success. The worst thing, of course, is to be angry with somebody's success. That's completely debaucherous and that's completely, you know, a Vaishnav. But somehow or other, you know you are a Vaishnav, you can't be very verbal about your discontent and verbal about your unhappiness. So you somehow tolerate it. Someday he'll be exposed. So out of that feeling, you tolerate it. But a slightly better way is, you are happy with his success. Oh, he is successful. But happiness is something just in the heart. But a Vaishnav is supposed to celebrate others' success. That means there's some action. When you have celebration, it doesn't remain in your heart. It is some celebration, some action involved in that. So that is a quality of a genuine Vaishnav. That he's celebrating others' success. When Yudhishthir saw that Arjuna has so many divine weapons, he was not at all, I said, well, I'm the elder brother, you know, how come you have got all these divine weapons? And Bhima, you have much more strength than me. I mean, why don't you? So the leader is never insecure in his leadership. The point is important. Indra was extremely insecure in his leadership. He was very, very unstable. And that's a classical example of a person who's teaching by his example the phenomenon of an insecure leader. And Krishna, he wants to show how he is so thoroughly disgusted with insecure leaders. Because as we are talking about the example, that if somebody is singing out of tune in a kirtan, how can he be very disturbing? But if somebody has a very loud voice, And he sings out of Kirtan. He can create a complete confusion, isn't it? Similarly, a devotee who is somewhat insincere, a simple devotee, he might not cause so much of a difficulty. But for a leader who is loud in his position, who is a very big man, if he is insecure and he starts doing things for his self-glorification, then the Krishna is showing this. The whole beautiful episode of Govardhan Leela is nothing but to address, or rather to cure, the insecurity of an important leader. That's the whole Leela about, from the leadership perspective. From the Leela perspective, of course, it has many, many multifaceted Leelas that is going to happen in this Leela, in this pastime. But from the leadership perspective, you can see that the reason why Krishna decided to do what he did was exclusively to really expose, destroy, and reform this insecure leader. Because he keeps on getting insecure every now and then. He needs to be taken care of. Because an insecure leader can cause tremendous confusion in the society. The reason why we are insecure, many times, is that we are constantly comparing. And I was just analyzing today morning while I was coming, that, you know, most of the way people see happiness in this world is not that how much happy I am internally, but how much less happy people are. That makes us more happy. And how many people are much more happier than me, that makes us more sad. It is a relative world. The whole happiness is so very relative. It is just not dependent upon our intrinsic quality and just compare this to the spiritual world. Hanumanji is very, very happy in his dasyaras. He is just so self-satisfied. Even though he sees the gopas running around with Krishna, even though he sees the Madhura ras and all these things, he is appreciating that, but he is just so very satisfied because happiness is very intrinsic quality in the spiritual world. But in the material world, happiness is a very, very relative quality. It is not depend upon how much you have inside. It depends upon how much others don't have or how much others have more than you. So Indra was such an insecure person. And he was so much of in a mood of comparing that how can, if you see from Indra's perspective, what the Brijbasis did was very strange. Giving up the worship of such an aristocratic person as me, Indra was thinking, what are they doing? You know, just imagine if you are in a situation where, you are not Krishna conscious, you don't know the glories of Govardhan, and you know, somebody just starts worshipping a hill. He said, what are these crazy people? Because you are covered up, because you are covered by ignorance. Indra could not see this. So it was such a confusing thing for him. He said, how foolish they are. Just this talkative child and they listen to him. So he was comparing himself to be, he was thinking himself to be very great. And when does one think himself to be very great? When he sees the other people are very small. Please understand, every gradiential quality is very relative. I am big because something else is small. And I am small because something else is big. It is such a relative world. Let us appreciate from this beautiful verse how relative the material world is and how divinely absolute the spiritual world is. Nobody wants to be in other people's position. Nobody. Nobody is comparing at all. There's zero comparison. The only thing that is happening is not comparison and no competing, but complementing. Complementing is the spiritual quality and competing is a material quality. Of course, we have understanding of spiritual competition, the way Srila Prabhupada taught us, through book distribution and other things, which he used that, and very Krishnaized that particular competition mood. But basically, spiritual mood is complementing. It is not that Uddhava, when he went to Vrindavan, And he saw the glories of the Brijbasis. Say, how great this Brijbasi, how much love they have for Krishna. He didn't say that I want to become a Brijbasi. I want to be a gopi. What did he say? I want to become simply a Gulmalata. Just complimenting them in their service to Krishna. Similarly, you know, when we see the Mahaprakash Leela, I always compare this many times when we have the Vyas Puja offering, you know, and for our Guru, and you know, the person, the speaker is reading. So now I call upon, and people who are very expectant, they're almost ready. My name, and then you say, oh no, my name. Then at the last you say, your name was not called. People who expect to speak, they become the most depressed when they are not asked to speak. But that was not the mood during the Mahaprakash. It was similar. One by one devotees were called. Please, Advaita, Haridas. People are not waiting, when will my turn come? I want the mercy. But they were simply happy to see other people getting the mercy. They were wonderfully complimenting. They were adding, they were celebrating people's success of getting the mercy of the Lord. That was the mood. That is spiritual mood. That was the mood of the Brijbasis. No competition, zero competition at all. But complimenting each other. Also we have the example. I was just trying to see the example. Such great examples we have. Rupa Goswami. You know, much junior to Sarup Damodar Goswami and Haridas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies him. And all the devotees become very happy. Jai, Rupa Goswami is wonderful. Not to say that, oh, Rupa Goswami, you are a junior. I mean, you are Dabir Khas, man. You worked for a Muslim. And you should always remember your fallen condition, by the way. They were all so happy. Yes, Rupa Goswami is the Sampradaya Acharya. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. That yes, Rupa Goswami is special. That was the mood of the Vaishnavas. So why do we become insecure? What is the reason why we become insecure? Few reasons. The person who wants to do all by himself and get all the credit, that's why he becomes insecure. Because when he sees somebody else doing it, the natural tendency is you want to what we call hog the limelight. You want to just hog it. And the moment somebody is getting some limelight, and some, you become very insecure. And believe me, it is. And many a times, if you analyze it, you know, you see that, well, you know, people who are envious and insecure, they are people like what's this, Gopal Chakravarti, right? Gopal Chakravarti, who cut the nose? What is this, Gopal Chakravarti? I said people like him, they behave like that, like Gopal Chakravarti. I'm not like that, after all. I don't behave so cruelly. So I'm not that envious after all. But the insecurity is very, very subtle in devotees. When you see that when other people get glorified and you're not happy with it, be sure you are insecure. When you see juniors doing wonderful, for Indra, Brijbasis were, they were devotees, very junior people. He said, he couldn't really take them what they did. Similarly, as a leader, if he sees a junior doing something very good, and if he is not encouraging that person, then be sure you are an insecure leader. You need some security. You need some spiritual security to get out of this insecurity. And similarly, we also see that the way we can get out of this insecure behavior of a leader is by constantly remembering our fallen position. When does one become insecure? The mother of all quality is pride. And that pride gives rise to different qualities like jealousy, insecurity, what you call scarcity consciousness, or having a very scarcity mindset. We are not abundant mindset. We have a very scarcity mindset. That, you know, everything is very small, sankuchit vichar. This all is because of this mother of all unearthed pride. Where we should always be meditating upon our fallen condition. A very, very simple story. We have heard this story so many times. And maybe, you know, we have heard it. Of the story of Punarmushika Bhava. That a rat goes to a sadhu and says, please make me a cat, because the cat troubled me. Then again he goes to the sadhu and says, please make me a dog. I'm getting troubled by the dog. Then make me a lion. And the lion wants to attack the sadhu. Sadhu says, Punarmushika Bhava. Again become a rat. Very simple story for the kids, but actually it has deep, deep, deep significance. The sadhu in our life, the spiritual master, the senior Vaishnavas, by their blessings, we become or we do what we do. As we say, the mice-like duties that we are, but we may be doing lion-like activities. We may be doing something that we never dreamt of doing it. But the sadhu is blessing you constantly. Because we are following this instruction. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittite Koriyo Akya Arana Koriyo Mane Asha. To the extent we are following the instructions of the spiritual master, keeping his instructions of our life and soul, you are very wonderfully empowered. But to the extent you forget that, and the moment the guru just says that, Punarmushika Bhava, you again become a very, very ordinary rat. And we have seen so many unfortunate examples of people coming to very, very ordinary situations. We have nobody to judge them. We have no right to judge anybody. But at least we learn from their example how we should be very, very careful. And you see, time and again, in due course, time is the best healer. And you will see these Vaishnavas getting reformed. And it is excruciating painful when they go through the reformation process. So if you are always meditating upon this very, very wonderful principle of always remembering our fallen condition, it was so inspiring to see that was always the mood, or that was always the thoughts of our respectable Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. He would always say that, you know, I am a very fallen person. You know, I need, many, many years back, you know, when he had come to Mumbai, we got a small chance to just be with him. We were asking him, such a wonderful personality, oceanic a smile and very, very dynamic personality that he is and he was. We asked him, how do you get this energy? You know, and then he spoke a very, very important statement. That we should always be in this emergency consciousness. Very, very, very important statement he made. And it really hit my heart. And then he said, you know what is emergency? I said, Maharaj, please explain. I have never seen an emergency because I was born in 72. There has not been any emergency after that. 71 was the emergency. Pakistan. I said, I said, emergency means the sirens are blowing everywhere. It is darkness. The planes are flying on the top. And this bombardment going on, boom, boom, boom. That's the way he was explaining. Will you sleep that time? He was saying. Can you be sleeping? Can you be, it's only Prabhupada can cook pakoras. Can you do that? Only he can do what he did. But emergency consciousness means you will be extremely Krishna conscious. Every second you will be very conscious because it's emergency. Because any time there could be a bomb and you may have to really rescue yourself or you might be dying. He said, padam, 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 yatvi padam natesha. There's a danger at every step. So we have to be in this emergency consciousness. And the easiest way to be in the emergency consciousness is to feel that we are the most insignificant. We are fallen. And that is why it is important to really constantly follow the regulated principles that have been laid down by our spiritual master. Getting up in the morning, irrespective, whether you are a 5-year-old devotee, 10-year-old devotee, 15-year-old devotee, or a Paramahansa, 35, 40 years you're spending Krishna consciousness. If you feel that you are insignificant, you will be scared to not follow these principles. Indra, the one thing that happens is a leader becomes abhay in a wrong way. Today we were hearing the class, Prabhupada was talking about abhay vritti, abhay vritti. To become fearless. A devotee becomes fearless. But a person who is intoxicated, he's also fearless. You know, he's walking on the center of the road. He's not fearful. A sane person is fearful. He walks on the side. But a drunk person or a mad person, he sits on the middle of the road. He's not fearful because he doesn't understand. He's intoxicated. And the same way, a person intoxicated by pride. Maya jale baddh hoye. Acho miche kachchalo ye kono chaitanya pe radha madhav naam karo re. That maya jale baddh, if you are just, what's this? There was another word that you are intoxicated by pride or by maya. And if you are in this intoxicated condition, you don't realize what you are doing. And unfortunately, we learned this example from this worshipable personality, Indra. He's teaching that how a person behaves. But if you are constantly in an insignificant mood, then you can never be proud, no matter what. And for that, we have to force ourselves. We learn this example from our His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj. He is practically like our Siksha Guru here, at least for me, sitting here and hearing our class. Such personalities. Now we have Jananivas Prabhu. And every single speaker in Mayapur is junior to him. Many of them, most of them I would say. But you'll find these two brothers wonderful, just making notes, sitting there. Every Bhagavatam class, so inspiring, just by the action. Why they do what they do? Because they know that it is important to constantly be in the Sadhana Bhakti platform. We should never feel we are beyond the Sadhana Bhakti platform. Sometimes devotees, when they become so-called senior, and you know, the seniority is very simple in ISKCON, as Radha Gopinath Prabhu was explaining the other day in the class. Seniority means just spend more than 5 to 10 years in Krishna consciousness, you become senior. It's not the real seniority, but you naturally become senior. But moment we become senior, if we don't, we are not very careful. In fact, when you become so-called senior, we should be much more attentive. Much more intensely conscious, because we have seen examples of people who have really goofed up. Unfortunately, sad to say, but it has happened. So this beautiful examples is Brijbasis. They are just so very centered around Krishna, and they will never be in Maya. They'll always be having the bliss of worshipping Krishna and Giriraj. And unfortunately, people who are trying to throw stones all over the lake, trying to satisfy their own desires, they'll always be insecure, they'll always be troubled, they'll always be very, very unhappy in their lives, resulting in negative qualities like anger. You know, of course, I don't have much right to speak about anger. I was trying to speak, I said, but what do I have right to speak of anger? I have practically no control over anger. I said, what do I speak sitting here? But, you know, pride and anger is all such horrible qualities. But we slowly and slowly harbor these qualities in our hearts. So, chanting 16 rounds intensely, attending the regularly, whatever schedule that we have given, whether we are grihasthas, we have a particular schedule, we are brahmacharis, we have a particular schedule, to follow that schedule very strictly in our lives, irrespective of what number of years that we spend in Krishna consciousness, then we are very, very safe. And when we are constantly Krishna conscious, and we are trying to just give all our self to Krishna, and then the greatest wealth we get is, we get Krishna. I would like to just end with a very small but very sweet story, which I heard from one of the senior devotees in Vrindavan. It was Krishna's birthday. This is just a wonderful thing we will understand from this story, that what is the gift of strict sadhana. What will happen? It was Krishna's birthday, and there was a long queue in Nanda Bhavan. He had not gone out. The long queue in Nandabhavan, everybody was waiting in line to give Krishna some gift, because he's after all the son of Vrajesha Tanaya, son of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is our king, and he's the son of the king, and of course they love Krishna and they love Nanda Maharaj. There was a long queue. So Krishna was sitting in the middle, he was just accepting all the gifts and but while he was sitting constantly, he was constantly looking at the door. He was accepting, looking at the door, as if he was waiting for somebody. Hours passed, there was just people just coming, but he was still looking at the door. And then after all the fun and floric, his friends came, there was a queue of his friends. And Krishna had a big smile on his face. He said, here are my friends. And what did the friends get? Everybody else got very costly gifts for Krishna. You know, some very, 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 very nicely decorated ornament box. And some beautiful cloth and everything. But what the friends got was something very simple. Some amazing, you know, feathers of a bird. Some colored mud. Some minerals. And they put on Krishna like this. And they give some things to him. Krishna was so very indebted to his friends that he took all the gifts. He didn't put it down. He put it on his body. He didn't want to put it down. He was so indebted to his friends' love. And one by one, there are thousands of friends. They came in a line. And Krishna was putting all his gifts on his body. He was not putting it down. It was so dear to him. Not that the other gifts were not. But his friends were very dear to him. Very intensely dear. And then after the whole ceremony was finished, Krishna was feeling so indebted to the love of his devotees. To the love of his friends. Krishna ran. And he just hugged all the devotees, as this devotee explained. He just hugged all the devotees. He said, I cannot give anything else in return for your love. All I have is this embrace of mine. And that's exactly what he told the gopis. I don't have anything. Just be happy with your own love. Now, what more you want? And here is a comparison. Whether we want to be like Indra on one side, constantly tormented and upset and just looking for reasons to be angry and try to satisfy our own desires, or you want to be like the Brijabasis, following their footsteps and be always happy. And at the end of the day, as we have this beautiful picture where Krishna embraces the devotee who comes to the spiritual world. There's a picture, right? And Gopakumar, he embraces this. And what a special picture it is. It always gives me a lot of hope. That's one day I want this. Such a hope-giving picture it is. Because that's all we will get. We'll get a beautiful embrace from Krishna. And everything will be finished. So that's the reciprocation Krishna can give, because he's just so happy with that devotee or that devotees who have dedicated their life for his service. So this is a beautiful chapter, and tomorrow we are having the wonderful opportunity to hear from His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj, and it's the beginning of the next chapter, very, very perfect opportune time. So we will have the great honor to hear Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. I thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.